Our glories to the assembled devotees. Our glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, text number 15, Lord in Heart. Stiram Sukham Cha Sanamastito Yati. Oh. Is that 15, verse 15? Where is 15? 16? Okay. Mm-hmm. Canto 3. Or Canto 2. Canto 4. 2-2. Stiram sukham cha samamastito yati. Yada chihasur imam angalokam. Kale cha deshe chamana nasajaye. Prahani ache manasajitasu. Shiram Shukam Chas Anamastiko Yaki Lachina Surimam Angalo Stiram, without being stirred. Sukham, comfortable. Cha, also. Asanam, sitting accommodation. Astitaha, being situated. Yatihi, thus age. Yada, whenever. Jihasu, desires to give up. Imam, this. Anga, okay. Lokam, this body. Kali, in time. Cha, and. Deshe, in a proper place. Cha, also. Mana, the mind. Na, not. Sajaye, may not be perplexed. Pranam, the senses. Niyache, must control. Manasa, by the mind. Yita asur, conquering the life fear. Translation. O King, whenever the yogi desires to leave this planet of human beings, he should not be perplexed about the proper time or place, but should comfortably sit without being disturbed and regulating the life air, she controlled the senses by the mind. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 8.14, it is clearly stated that a person who is totally engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord and who constantly remembers Him at every step easily obtains the mercy of the Lord by entering into His personal contact. Such devotees do not need to seek an opportune moment to leave the present body. But those who are mixed devotees, allied with fruitive action or empirical through selfless speculation, require an opportune moment for quitting this body. For them, the opportune moments are stated in Bhagavad Gita 8:23-26. But these opportune moments are not as important as one's being a successful yogi who is able to quit his body as he likes. Such a yogi must be competent to control his senses by the mind. The mind is easily conquered simply by engaging it at the lotus feet of the Lord. Gradually, by such service, all the senses become automatically engaged in the service of the Lord. That is the way of merging into the Supreme Absolute. Mukham karoti achalam bhangam long vete girinya kutantaham vande sri gurum kinatayanam Om jnana timurandasya garanjala shakaya chakshu minitam yena tasmai shri So Prabhupada in this purport, he's quoting a lot from the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So I'd also like to quote from the 8th chapter, the verse 6. Yam yam vapi smanam bhagam tyajantyante kalevaram dantami vaiti kvanteya sadatta bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. So Prabhupada emphasizes that for devotees, we don't have to worry about the opportune moment to leave this body. I was just seeing recently the horoscope of Hansadutta Prabhu, and he had some problems. He had one yoga called Asura Yoga, where he would help people and then he would disturb them. But his time of leaving the body, he was so pleasing to Prabhupada, the service that he did, he left at the most auspicious moment on Akshaya Tritiya. And so Prabhupada takes care of us. Prabhupada will, even though we make some mistakes sometimes, because we're in this material world, but he will make sure that we reach him. And so chapter 8 is called Attaining the Supreme. This purport and verses about that. So how do we attain the Supreme? By remembering Krishna. And how do we remember Krishna? Chant Hare Krishna. If you read the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, you will find in the purports that Prabhupada mentions the Hare Krishna mantra, sometimes in full, sometimes in part, 17 times in that chapter. So remembering means chanting. That's what it means to remember Krishna at the time of death. So what happens at the time of death? Our senses slowly stop one by one. So it's very difficult to remember. During our life, also we waste our time in youth. We have to make money. We get wealth in an old age. So we spend our youth, our health to get wealth. In old age, we spend our wealth to get health. And so that's how it goes with this material body. But time passes and we neglect our real welfare. Perhaps you have heard this before. Alexander the Great, his last three wishes when he was on his deathbed, he called his generals and he said, first of all, my first wish is the best doctors should carry my coffin. And the second wish is all the money, all the wealth I've accumulated should be scattered along the procession to the cemetery. And the third wish was my hand should be let loose out of the coffin, hanging outside for all to see. So one general was surprised, what does this mean? So Alexander explained, yes, I want the best doctors to carry my coffin to show that in the face of death, even the best doctors and the world have no power to heal. And Prahlad Maharaj, we just had the Nrisimha Chaturdashi. Prahlad prays, my Lord Nrisimhadev, because of a bodily concept of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for you cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A doctor in medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. And a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. And so we have Prabhupada in a lecture on that verse says, if we may have the best medicine, but if Krishna says no, then you must die. Then that was the first wish. The second wish, the road to be covered with his treasure so everyone sees material wealth stays on earth. You go, the wealth stays here. And the third, I want my hands to swing in the wind so people understand we come to this world empty-handed and we leave empty-handed. After the most precious treasure of all is exhausted, and that is time. So we don't take to our grave any material wealth, although our good deeds can be our traveler's check. In the 11th canto, Avyarhotra speaks to King Nimi. All that a person takes with him is his sinful and pious reactions. Kapiladeva, he goes alone to the darkest regions of hell after quitting the present body. The money he acquired by envying other living entities is the passage money with which he leaves this world. So it's the money you gain by illegal means is your ticket, buys your ticket to hell. And so time is our most precious treasure. And that's what we can give people is our time. That is the most precious thing. So how can we die what happens at death? For some people, your whole life goes in front of you. In the near-death, there's near-death experiences. So I'll talk a little bit about the near-death experiences. One devotee who was in my Bhakti Shastri class, she talked about a time when she fell off her bicycle and landed on her head, and then her whole life went in front of her. And where did it stop? When she was a teenager, she had killed a cat. That's where it stopped. So you have to be very, very careful in what you do. And what would have if she had continued on and died, she would have become a cat. So there was one CIA agent also who had a near-death experience. And he was almost dying. And this CIA agent was an assassin. He was hired to kill people. So what happened in his near-death is he experienced every single person he shot. He experienced all their pain. He experienced all the pain of the relatives and the friends who knew him. And after that near death, he came back. After that experience, he changed his life. He didn't kill anybody anymore. And also, I had a near death. I don't know if you could call it a near death experience, but I did lose. I was under anesthesia, which I was allergic to. I'm allergic to anesthesia. And so I was conscious, but I had lost all my memory. Like I had no idea of any identity. I was like a molecule. So what is the consciousness of a molecule? I can tell you. Everything's black, and that's it. I was conscious, but nothing. There was nothing. I had no memory of my identity. I could have, I had no idea of identity or desire or anything, just everything was black. And I guess that's what the anesthesia is supposed to do to you. Did it to me, but I was conscious during it. And so then what happened in the darkness, all of a sudden I saw the holy name like a screensaver coming in front of me in multicolored. And I started to chant, although I didn't have any ghost or cell body. I started chanting. And as soon as I started chanting, my memory came back. So I have a pretty good memory, but it doesn't mean anything at the time of death. So if that's a case where my memory was taken away completely, but Krishna came in the form of holy name. So I had given like 7 japa seminars before that happened. And So I guess that helped. So yes, even if you forget Krishna, if you're a devotee, Krishna won't forget you. So that was very one of the many, many realizations I had from that experience. So every desire we have is stored in our subtle body, and every desire we have can create another birth in this material world. So we need to think, is it worth it? Is it actually worth it? So Prabhupada explains in the purport of 8.6, one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So this life creates one's next life. If in one's present life one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. And that will help one be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. So we have to, when we wake up in the morning, think of Krishna, think of Prabhupada, be grateful, offer this day, okay, I offer to you Krishna. So now I'm going to give you different perspectives from from devotees about death. Very interesting different perspectives. And also from the devotees in Bhagavatam too. So first of all, one of my godbrothers, Chandrasekhar Swami, his perspective on death. I'm looking forward to the end. How can I get myself to realize I will someday be watching my final minutes tick away? Where will I be? Will I be with devotees? Will I die from an accident? Will I be in extreme pain? Will I be with people who are happy on dying, people who are killing me? Or with those who feel frightened but do not know what to do or say? Death is all around us, isn't it? As Yudhisthira said to his father, Dhamraj, it is the most wonderful thing that all around us people are dying, but we think we will live forever. When I quote from the second chapter of Gita, do I realize one day I will also be watching my last moments slip away? I should, but do I? What will it be like knowing I will not go back to my familiar room, or I will no longer peck away at my beloved computer? I'm trying to remember that my days are numbered. Each day counts, that I should try to deliver others. That is the real duty. If nothing else, I can say I prayed a lot. But really, isn't that what devotion is all about? Maybe one day you will use me for something when I become a little pure. For me, that may take a lifetime. Last year, I attended several funerals. In a bizarre way, I like funerals. I like being reminded I will one day lie there. Look there, that will be my body in that casket. I will lie there with people gathered around me, at least my body, wondering what type of prasadam is going to be served later. The service will pass, and the prasadam is going to be served later. The service will pass, and the world will go about its regular ways and habits, not skipping a beat. But not I. I'll be gone to another scene. This is what I always think at funerals, that there's this one special funeral, the last funeral I will have to attend, at least in this life. I'll not have to look for a ride home afterward. Material nature has made all arrangements. Maybe I will go back to whatever planetary system I came from, as it is almost certain I did not come from this one. This year my mother passed away, a very dedicated lady, a very religious lady, a very funny lady. She had an odd sense of humor. Maybe that is where I get my sense of humor, should we decide to call it that. During my youth we were close, but after I chose to become a devotee, we became contestants. About 8 or 9 years ago, my mother developed Alzheimer's disease. An odd twist of fate, in the Alzheimer's stage, she seemed to sincerely like me again, without a religious stipulation. But to her, I was now a stranger. The mother-child reunion in outer space. The last words she ever said to me were, "It was so nice to have met you." Interesting parting remark coming from your mother. Still, as I think back, you know, there was something deeply warm and reassuring about that comment. So that's how we go through life. We kind of meet our mother and father and our kids, and then we go away from them and meet different mothers and fathers and kids. So Prabhupada said in a lecture, we should be sada tad bhava bhavita. And tad, the word tad It's not Krishna. He said this means Krishna. We should always think of Krishna. So how do devotees face death in Srimad Bhagavatam? Parikshit, his last prayer was actually the prayer to become a preacher in his next life. He said, offering obeisances to all you brahmanas, I pray, if I should again take my birth in the material world, I'll have complete attachment to unlimited Lord Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. Of course, he didn't talk about the envious persons. He just took the three positive ones. The preacher, he loves Krishna, he makes friendship with devotees, he preaches to the innocent, and he avoids the envious. So that was his prayer. Now, Jiva Maharaj, at the time of death, he stepped on the head of death. Yes, and he got up on his airplane. So maybe some of our devotees did that too. We don't know if they stepped on the head of death. Quite possible. And so Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that a devotee leaving his body and a non-devotee is completely different. Death comes and takes the non-devotee, and that is when they realize, oh, God exists. I have no control. And they do remember all the things they did in their previous life before they go to hell. Well, for the devotees, it's different. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a cat catching a rat in its mouth. It's petrified. This is the non-devotee. He knows what's going to happen, but he's completely fearful. In the hospital, they have something where the patients, before they die, they start screaming and they start becoming, they call it some kind of restlessness. Restlessness. They die like that. And before they die, they see the Amdutas. But for the devotees, it's like a mother cat coming to take her kitten back home. So Amrish Maharaj, he was not afraid of death. When the demon came, he was just praying, okay, you want, you can take me, otherwise not. I was hearing the story of one Croatian devotee who was preaching during the war, when there was a war in Croatia before Slovenia. Yugoslavia. There was a war in Yugoslavia. And he was a devotee preacher. And the bullets were flying. He was looking and he was seeing across the road there were some non-devotees. And he saw all these bullets coming and coming. And he was thinking, should I go over there and preach to them? And he saw all these bullets were coming. And he said, yeah, okay, if Krishna wants to take me, all right. If not, then it's okay. And he went and preached to these the poor conditioned souls, I have to go and preach to them. So this is it's happening even now that devotees are trying to help others in the war zone in Ukraine. Yeah. So, yeah, that is happening. One of our devotees, there was this, all these people, civilians, were taking shelter in a movie theater. And he went there and organized the food and the all the accommodations and everything. He was organizing for all the people. He said, they don't know what to do, so let me help them. And then one day, then the bombing came. And he didn't die, but he was completely unconscious. And some other devotee came and took him out from there. So it's happening. It's happening that even now, the devotees are risking their lives to help others. Amrish was not afraid of death. He just prayed to the Lord, okay, if you like, you can take me. Otherwise, you can protect me. And the Lord protected him very, very nicely. So, Prabhupada also was fearless of death. When he was lying on his bed and the doctor said he was full of pain, but he was like that for 6 months. And he got some books recently printed in Portuguese by Hridayananda Maharaj. She said, this is life. This material world is just bones. The bones are not our real life. We are not concerned with bones and stones. Our real concern is the living force. And so that was Srila Prabhupada. We have a history. There was a sage He had only bones. There's a science. You can sustain life only by bones. Hiranyakashipu did it. He only had bones and he was living. So Tamalakrishna said, you are also doing it, Srila Prabhupada. And just bones. So Prabhupada said, okay, take care of the bones as long as possible, but real life is here. Always remember that. A material world means they're all protecting bones and flesh together. They have no idea what they are. So what to do? We have to remember Krishna. And that was, Prabhupada wrote a letter to Devananda. He said, our prayer should be simply, my dear Krishna, please remind me to always chant your holy name. Because the super soul makes us remember and makes us forget. Please don't put me into forgetfulness. You are super soul in my heart. You can make me forget or make me remember. So please do not put me into forgetfulness. Please always remind me to chant. Even you send me to hell, it doesn't matter. As long as I can always chant Hare Krishna. So that was Prabhupada's meditation. So now I want to read to you about two devotees. One devotee was on his deathbed, and these are his last words on his deathbed. And then the other one was one of my god sisters who left her body, and how she took it. So this devotee was in a hospital. And he said, I have to tell you about the place I'm staying in. It's a huge hospital, like a factory. It's next to a soulless suburb. Some of the people are in horrible shape. At night, people are screaming and crying. The jaws of karma are chewing them. Amazingly, I am not losing my mind. I never felt so strong spiritually. Every day I drink the nectar of Prabhupada's words and Gita. This is the true remedy for all diseases in life. The body has to go anyway. Anxiety is not necessary. Every living entity taking birth has to die. The issue is not to live and die, it's to know and realize who we really are. We have to concentrate our minds on Krishna, his beauty, and develop a loving attraction for him. Of course, we have to serve his devotees. This is what pleases him the most. Never should we criticize someone engaged in his service. Mental offenses, as well as verbal, bring down, fall down, and misery. So he was a disciple of Satyut Maharaj. Satyut Maharaj, this was a letter to Maharaj. So Satyut said, we pay more attention to someone on his deathbed. This is his last time to say things, and there's no need to put up any pretense. There are lessons we should take to heart. This devotee did have problems making offenses to other devotees. So he was realizing it. On his deathbed, a lot of devotees, they'll write on Facebook, please forgive me for all my offenses that I ever did to anyone in this life. So it is something that you have to do before you leave this body, is get forgiveness for your offenses. So then this devotee says, I beg you, consider all this and think about your life. I'm experiencing these trials for my benefit and for yours. Please, actually he wrote to a friend, not to Maharaj. Please be serious in your devotional life. Read the Gita again. Take notes. Make as much progress as you can while you're able to function as a normal human being. You know, we take things for granted that at any point, you know, one day I woke up and I lost my hearing in one ear, you know, all of a sudden after 70 years of hearing, or 60 years of hearing nicely, and then all of a sudden. So you don't know what's going to be taken away from you at any point. Chant your heart out in front of Krishna Balaram and serve Guru Maharaj to the best of your ability. Then you'll be safe and peaceful all your life at the time of your death, and your mind will be fixed. There is no time to waste. The clock is ticking. Death is the most serious thing in your life. Here people are trying to forget their anxieties by getting deeper into illusion. They watch TV on their deathbed. They do crosswords. They read Monday magazines like Inquirer or Globe. This is so sad. They listen to music and try to absorb themselves in material sound vibration, but it doesn't do any good. Their anxieties are limitless. I had some period where I felt worried about my health, but I was never scared in a big way. It's not I'm very courageous. It was just Krishna protecting me in the form of his holy name. In the worst times, I chanted mentally the Maha Mantra over and over again, and I felt secure. Either I would have died thinking of Krishna or lived thinking of Krishna, so why worry? So then my god sister, so that was one devotee who was dying, and he realized he's had all these realizations, so I want to share these realizations with you. And then another example of successful leaving the body was my god sister Kunti Devi. She wasn't a big leader, she wasn't honored and respected or having any high position. She was just a simple mother and a very dedicated devotee of Krishna. So she got cancer, it spread into her spine and her organs, and she was crippled in a wheelchair. So the doctor said, nothing we can do, you have 6 months to live. So she was paralyzed, but she was smiling, always encouraging and making everyone happy. And so the TV station got wind of this, and they met her, and they'd never seen anything like this in their life. There was a half-hour show. The hostess was just praising her, and Kunti Devi was giving lectures about the beauty of life, the beauty of bhakti, the good fortune of anyone who has Krishna. And the hostess asked her, how could you be so happy when you're in such a condition? So Kunti said, because I know I'm the soul. I'm eternal. The body is a temporary situation, and the situation is bringing my soul closer to God. Therefore, I'm rejoicing and I'm happy. So the doctor said, you know, everything is so bad. Your physical symptoms is hopeless. But actually, only one thing is good, and that's her consciousness. And so because of being a devotee, so we take advantage of what we have while we can. It's very, very important before we lose it. And the way the world is now, you can lose it at any time. And so we need to use our time very carefully and very wisely. I'll stop here if anyone has any questions. Yeah. Not working.
Yeah, I would like to take this opportunity. Can you hear me
now? No, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. To confess, and in front of all the devotees. So it's very glad that we talked about.
No. Maybe it needs bandwidth.
Talked about this.
Okay, you just talk. Yeah, you're not depressed.
Yeah, yeah, just perfectly fine, not depressed or anything.
But you get excited when you think about death.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I don't know. And I even don't know if there's going to be another journey or there's not going to be anything, if I'm going to meet Krishna or not, if there's heaven, hell, whatnot. I don't even know anything. So it's not like I'm excited about another journey or anything.
It's not like you're excited about another journey. Is it good to be excited about death? Well, when you get old, you get more excited. For a young person, it's pretty rare. Or a younger person, if you're over 70, then you start getting more excited about death because everything starts falling apart physically. But it could mean that you're going back to Godhead, and that's why you're excited. And subconsciously, you don't know it, but subconsciously, you know it, you're going back to Godhead. So that's a reason to be excited. That, yeah, this is my last life. Yeah. And next life I'm going to be with Krishna. Well, that's a good reason to be excited about that. And so it could be that you have that firm conviction that yes, after this life. But don't be too excited. You still have time. You need to serve Krishna in this life. You need to do some service. for Krishna, and that's why you're here. There's a purpose here. There's a purpose for your life, and there's you have a special service to do for Prabhupada's mission before you die. So that's very, very important to remember, and to find out what is that purpose, what is that service, what service do I have for Srila Prabhupada now? Okay, you have a question? Yeah. Do all non-devotees
work with the laws of karma?
Yeah, they're under the laws of karma. Unless there is a loophole here, unless they are related to devotees.
What about like Christians?
They are related to devotees.
What about like Christians who is connected with Christ?
Pardon me?
Christians
who are connected with Christ. Yes, Prabhupada was asked that question, where do the Christians go? And he said, they will go, Christ as a planet, and they will go to him. Yes, you have a question?
Yes, it's not like karma, but it's like, say, Krishna, so in one sense, karma is just Krishna. The appearance of Krishna's not there. People
right.
Cannot deal with Krishna directly.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. The rules are there, but if they try to follow their religion sincerely, then that is, of course, Krishna accepts that. Prabhupada never tried to convert anyone. He says, I'm not converting Krishna. You stay in your religion, and I will help you to be a better Christian. Yeah. Right. Yes. Any other questions? Yeah.
On the CIA agent,
he said,
the story of CIA agent.
Oh, yeah, CIA agent, yeah.
Yeah. So, he was just doing his job.
I know he was doing his job for his country, but he got the reaction. Yeah, he still got the reaction.
Like Arjun was killing not bad people, but he was...
Oh, he was for Krishna. It wasn't just a job. He was doing it for Krishna. You do it for Krishna, you won't get reaction. But if you do it for a job, you'll get the reaction.
Isn't that all Karma Yoga is about? You know,
yeah.
Just doing your own things? You know?
For Krishna.
For Krishna.
Not for the government of the United States. So he was doing his job for the government of the United States, so he got his karma. Well, perhaps, anyway, yeah, must have been some pious activities in there, or he wouldn't have had that really near-death experience. Otherwise, he would have just died and suffered. He must have done something right in his life. Yes. Not working.
So you have mentioned that Mansurita Prabhu passed away on Akshaya.
Yeah.
My question is, as Prabhupada say, be conscious that you are conscious of Krishna. So I say actually choice, it's not that just automatic.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I can answer that question. I think you need to ask an astrologer about that. What does it mean? Because I read this by Patit Pavan, who's an astrologer, and he was explaining the day and the moment was completely so auspicious. You won't get it in 1,000 years. So. What I understand is that it's not automatic, but we have the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada can make the rules or change the rules and make them auspicious for us. Make it auspicious. So my understanding is that Prabhupada is behind it. That Srila Prabhupada is behind it, and he's in control, and we're under his control as long as we try to keep serving him sincerely, or any sincere service. I know there was one time one of Prabhupada's godbrothers left his body, and he had caused a lot of trouble in the Gaudiya Math, this godbrother. And so the devotees asked, so what happened to this godbrother now he left his body? Prabhupada said, oh yeah, he went to Krishna. He went to Krishna? Prabhupada said, yeah, he did so much sincere service for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Tirtha. Yeah.
But then back to my question is, you said you had awareness that consciously everything was black. Right?
Yeah, that's all. I was in the black, but I was conscious.
But then my question is, you are aware that there is black.
Yeah. No. I had no control. That's just how it was under the anesthesia. And then the holy name came, and that changed everything. I didn't. I couldn't remember anything, and then it just came in front, and then I could see. It seems like I had no gross or sooty body, but I could see the holy name. In the black.
And then you take shelter of that.
Okay. And then as soon as I saw it, then automatically I started chanting.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just very automatic. Oh, holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Even though I didn't have a gross or subtle body that I could perceive. Mm. I had lost all perception of gross and subtle body. Like deep sleep or whatever. Prabhupada compares deep sleep to anesthesia in one purport. So I was in that level, but I had completely unconscious, like a molecule or an atom. Yeah?
Earlier you were saying something about tones.
Yeah, Prabhupada said that, yeah. In Sankhya, it says
in
life there, okay.
In Sankhya, in
life there can be suspended in the bones.
Yeah, in Treta Yoga, it can be suspended in the blood.
In Satya Yuga. Satya Yuga can be suspended. Where is this from?
Sustained in the bones.
You can sustain your life in the bones. Satya Yuga, life there in the bones. Prana.
In the blood.
Treta in the blood. Kali Yuga, food.
So that is why I say that people can meditate for thousands of years.
They can live for thousands of years. Yeah, I know. Where is that from? I was asking.
yes, but this was a conversation with Lord Shiva and Parvati.
Somewhere in the Vedas.
Yeah, in
somewhere.
The
Uh-huh. Okay, well, you have one more?
Yeah, last.
Okay,
one.
Last.
So, a very pious person who has been doing very good, good things about all his life, he doesn't know Krishna, he doesn't know Christian or anything, maybe somebody in the tribal village, but he's very pious, doing everything. Where would he go after
Well, if he doesn't have conception of God, then it will be automatically, because there's 400,000 human species, so he will just be automatically gone to the next, you know. If he has no, but as a human being, you do pious. If he's not on the human level, although he's in a human body, then that means he's an animal and he would just go to the next. But if he has the consciousness of choice, if he understands, then he can be elevated or degraded. Okay, any other questions?